The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. In the animal world, there's the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, cat and mouse. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt. But who is to judge precisely which of us, the hounds or foxes, as we enter the chase? And although most of us are pursuing something, the chase is seldom as frenzied as when it is motivated by the urge to obtain for nothing something of immense value.
Doctor, don't leave me, please. Mr. Lesko, you're all right now. Please keep your voice down. You'll wake the whole hospital.
What time is it?
3 a.m.
Oh, it's so dark. Can I have a light on?
You've got to rest. I'll be in again right after breakfast.
No, don't go, Doctor. Please don't leave me alone.
All right.
Stay with me.
Yes.
You don't know much about me, do you, Doctor?
I don't need to. My job is to get you up and around again.
Well, I'm an artist. Freelance. Not a very good one.
Mr. Lester, now, please don't talk.
I want to talk, Doctor.
All right. What shall we talk about?
I'm a lousy artist. Commercial. Girdles and ties and peanut butter ads. I'm the best drawer of squirrels Henley's peanut butter ever had. Isn't that something? And I'm broke. That's how this whole thing started. I was broke and fed up and hated what I was doing. You know what that's like?
What's what like?
To hate your job so much you can...
No, I'm pretty much absorbed in what I do.
Well, you're lucky. I wasn't. I hate squirrels, and I hate my work. That's why when I saw the picture frame, I thought right away I could be rich. It was like getting hit in the stomach. I thought I could tell the world to go hang. The frame was in the window of a shop at 3rd Avenue and 27th Street. John Marks, interior decorating. For a minute, I thought I was seeing things. It couldn't be the same one. Not here. Not in New York. But it was. I recognized a nick in the lower right-hand corner. I'd looked at that frame every night and every morning for 132 days. I knew every scroll, every filigree. Through the window, I could see a big guy inside the shop. He had a sun lamp tan and curly hair. When I could stop shaking, I went inside.
Good afternoon, sir. Is there something I can show you?
That frame in the window.
Ah, yes. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
Such a simple, almost biblical purity. Has a sort of lyric emotion, don't you think? Is something wrong, sir?
Are you Mr. Mark?
That's right.
You own this place?
Yes, I do.
Where did you get that frame?
Well, I bought it.
Where? Who from?
Well, as a matter of fact, from a woman who runs a rooming house around the corner. Why?
What's her name?
Hirsch. Mrs. Hirsch.
What's her address?
Now, look, what's this all about? It's just a picture.
What's her address?
Well, it's 518 East 27th Street, but I don't...
Mrs. Hirsch?
Yes?
I'd like to ask you something.
Well, don't be nervous about it, young man.
Well, you sold a frame to the decorating shop at the corner. John Mark, a picture frame?
Well, what if I did?
Where did you get it?
Say, what is this? Who are you?
Oh, Mrs. Hirsch, there's nothing wrong, nothing. I'd just like to know where you got it.
Why? Hey, listen, are you a cop? Was that picture hot?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Listen, just for the answers to a few questions, here's $20. Now, where did you get it?
Oh, from a rumor. He got sick on me and died.
Sick?
Lobert pneumonia. He owed me a month's rent, and all he had was his picture.
The picture was in it?
Oh, what good's a frame without a picture?
Was he French?
How did you know? Say, what is this anyway?
Was his name Rubalt? Jacques Rubalt?
That's right. Hey, for Pete's sake, Max, what's this all about? Hey, Max! Hey, wait a minute. Listen, well, that's certainly the easiest $20 I ever made.
Mr. Marks.
You back again? You went out of here so fast, I thought you'd been taken sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you were chasing a rabbit or something.
I didn't mean to be rude.
Oh, in this business, everybody's rude. Now, what about this frame?
Mrs. Hirsch said there was a picture in it.
Yes, there was.
What did you do with it?
I cut it out.
Cut it out?
Well, it was a horrible picture. Say, what's going on here anyway? Why all this mystery about a picture?
Well, where is it now?
I sold it.
Who to?
I don't remember.
Try. I'll pay you.
Pay me?
$100.
Just to tell you who I sold it
to? That's
right. Well, I guess I could find out by looking through the sales check.
Well, then look. Please, look right now. Tall, tanned, and curly started through the sales checks. I knew I'd made him curious. Too curious. And I knew that was a mistake. I just couldn't help it, Doctor. I couldn't stop trembling. If you knew the secret, that picture was worth $250,000. That's enough to make anybody tremble. When Curly found the sales check, he made a noise like a seagull diving on some floating orange peel.
There. I knew it was here somewhere.
Let me see it.
Supposing you tell me what this is all about.
Let me see it.
When you answer a couple of questions...
What kind of questions?
What's your name?
Lesko, George Lesko.
And what do you do?
I'm a commercial artist. Now, let me see that sales check.
Hold it, Mr. Lesko. You come into my shop and practically take a fit over a picture I know is worth.
Look, you made a bargain. $100 for the name on that sales check.
You said that, but why? The picture's no good.
I didn't say it was.
Then why? What did?
Let me see that sales check.
Are you crazy?
Let me see it. Baby, you asked for it. And Curly was tougher than he looked. He knocked me halfway across the store. I fell into some fireplace junk and... Somehow, Doctor, I came up holding a poker. I knew this was the wrong way to do it, but I just went nuts. Tan and Curly didn't bat an eye. His nostrils gave a funny little quiver, and he set his legs waiting, then licked his lips and smiled. We stood there, staring at each other.
Put the poker down, buddy.
Look, mister, we don't have to fight. It's just...
And put the poker down.
I want that picture.
Why?
Who did you sell it to?
Why do you want it?
I'll give you $200.
The picture's no good, I know. I've been in the business for years. Not worth $10. And you want it so badly you got a poker in your hand and something else in your eyes. The pupils have changed to dollar signs. Now, let's be reasonable. I know where the picture is. You want it. You tell me why. And I'll tell you where.
The picture... is valuable. You're crazy. It's worth, well, a lot of money.
Buddy, I've been around pictures all my life. It's a big blob of nothing.
That's what you think.
That's what I know. And you ought to know, too. You're supposed to be an artist. The picture's a mess.
That's right.
Any art student in town could do better.
But you're not in on the secret.
Secret?
Ever heard of Douai?
Who?
Douai is a town in France, just south of Lille in Calais province.
No, I never heard of it.
When I was with the Air Force, I got shot down on a bombing mission over Lille. I ended up hiding with a family in Douai named Rubalt.
Let's get to the point.
Were you in the Army, mister?
Now look, bud, put the poker down and start making sense, will you? I'm waiting for the punchline. If I don't get to it in 5 seconds, I'm calling the cops.
The punchline is...
No! Oh!
I hit him once, and then just for good measure, I hit him again. The sales check was in his pocket. He'd sold the picture to a Mrs. Millard Stanfield on Sutton Place. And I took a cab up. On the way, I stopped at my place and put a Band-Aid on the nick he'd taken out of my chin with his ring. I also picked up a gun I'd gotten 3 years ago in my apartment house at a series of break-ins. 35 minutes later, I was ringing Mrs. Stanfield's doorbell. Yes, she'd see me. After one look, I knew she'd see anything that looked like a man. She wasn't just a cutie doctor. She was gorgeous. I followed her from the door into the living room with my eyes glued to the back of her hairdo and my mind working overtime.
Sit down, Mr. What did you say your name was?
Harrison. George Harrison. I'm an artist.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
At what?
Commercial. Nothing very glamorous.
Oh, I see. Now, what picture are you talking about?
Well, 6 weeks ago, you bought a picture from a shop on Third Avenue, John Mark.
How do you know about that?
Well, Mr. Mark told me. Do you remember the picture?
Yes, very well.
A castle overlooking a moat about 18 inches by 15?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Have you still got it?
Yes, I have.
Well, it was painted by a friend of mine. He never got very far financially, and last week he died. I particularly like to get the picture back to give to his widow. It's one of her favorites.
Really? It's a hideous picture.
Well, you apparently didn't think so when you bought it.
On the contrary. I thought it was hideous the instant I saw it.
Well, then why did you buy it?
Have you seen John Mark?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
He's the reason I bought it. Rather sweet.
Oh.
Got it like Mr. Harrison.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Thank you. That's the most interesting light of me, I see.
Of course.
Thank you.
Mrs. Stanfield, I'd like to get the picture back.
Well, that's all right with me.
You've still got it?
Mm-hmm.
Then will you sell it to me?
I don't see why not. It was a wasted investment anyway.
I'll give you $100 for it.
$100?
$200, then. That's a lot more than you paid for it. I saw the sales check.
Oh, then you know that you're offering me too much. Why?
Well, I want to be fair.
Do you want your lighter?
Hmm? Oh, yes, thanks.
Why don't you sit over here, Mr. Harrison? I can see you so much better. Ah, good. Now, what's your real name?
What?
I noticed the initials GL on the lighter. Is that why I asked to see it?
Oh, well, I wanted it poker.
Mr. Harrison, one of the reasons that I have 3 meat coats is because I can tell when a man is lying. You're not used to lying, and you do it very badly. Now, your name isn't Harrison. Or if it is, you'll undoubtedly have several things in your wallet that you can show me.
Is my name important?
Apparently. Or you'd have told me your real one.
Can I have the picture?
Maybe. Is that Band-Aid covering a razor cut, or did somebody hit you?
Now, look, Mrs. Stanfield, I'm trying to be reasonable.
Mr. Harrison, when you want something from somebody, you've got to be casual. Because when you earn, the person who has whatever you want gets the idea that you place a value on it high enough to make it worth keeping. Let's take our hair down. Let's tell each other our secrets, shall we? I've nothing to do for the entire afternoon. My husband is in Philadelphia.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll just take a look around.
Yes, do. And then I'll be on the house phone in 5 seconds.
Look, I've made you a good offer. Why can't you just let me have the picture?
Because you want it so badly. You want it so badly I can smell it.
500.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Isn't this a cunning little mystery?
Then make me a counteroffer.
All right. All right. It's been some time since I've been kissed by a man with a mustache.
That can be remedied.
Can it?
Will you come and get it, or shall I deliver it?
Oh, Mr. Harrison,
I am one of the laziest girls in town.
You're quite something, aren't you?
So are you. All trembling and anxious about a picture.
No. Not about the picture.
About you?
You let one peep out of you and I'll bite your arm.
For the sake of you going crazy.
Where is it?
I haven't got it.
Another inch, Mrs. Stanfield, and I'll have to put your shoulder joint back together with thumbtacks. Now, where is it?
It's my summer place.
Where?
Little Tupper Lake.
You're making that up.
I'm not. Near Cat Mountain, the Adirondack.
How do I get
there? Oh, for heaven's sake, will you let me go?
All right, I'll let you go. Now, look, Mrs. Stanfield, you're quite a dish. You've got $1 million face and figure, and I'm not interested. I want that picture, and I'm going to get it if I have to chase it all over New York State. Now, get out a pencil and draw me a map. If you don't, I'll get really tough.
You're crazy.
Maybe so. I know I'm doing this the wrong way, but it's the only way I know. I haven't got much time.
Oh.
I never fired this gun in my life, but there can always be a first time.
I don't know what this is all about.
You don't have to. Just sit down at that desk and pretend you're an artist. She was frightened, and that suited me fine. The map wouldn't have won any prizes, but it was clear enough. The Taconic Parkway to Kingston, then number 9 up through Albany and Glens Falls to Warrensburg and across to Little Tupper Lake. Doctor, I was in so deep by this time that I couldn't get out. So even though I hated to do it, I clipped her with the butt of the revolver. Her head slumped down over the mahogany desk like a lily on black water. I ripped the plugs from a couple of lamp cords and tied her hands and feet, and I put a wash rag in her mouth and tied it with a hand towel around her face. Then I covered her with a piano shawl. Looking down at her, it occurred to me that Stanfield was a lucky guy. I was at the front door of the apartment when I heard the phone ring back in the bedroom. Phones bother me, especially when they ring and ring and ring. I knew instantly what had happened. She'd come to and wriggled to the edge of the desk and heaved over the telephone to the floor.
Mrs. Stanfield,
I hate socking women. I want you to know there's absolutely nothing personal in this.
Oh.
Are you sure this is Mrs. Stanfield's apartment?
You kidding, mister?
Well, I know she's in. Use your pass key.
Now, just because I'm superintendent of this building doesn't give me the right to go.
Now, look, something's wrong. Open the door, will you? You can come in with me. What do you think I'm going to do, steal the place bare?
Well, I know.
Open the door.
Well, okay.
Mrs. Stanfield!
She ain't here.
Well, somebody answered this phone 10 minutes ago and then hung up without saying anything. What's through there?
Bedroom.
Come on. See? What did I tell you? Mrs. Stanfield.
Hey, she ain't dead, is she?
Untie her hands.
Hey, I better get a doctor.
You shut up and stay put. And do as you're told. I'll handle this. Here, drink some more brandy.
No, I'm all right.
Was it Lesko?
Hmm?
The man about the picture.
Yes.
I thought he'd get to you. He clipped me with a poker.
Was it you who telephoned?
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. Stanfield, you want I should get a doctor or something?
Billy, just go away, will you? I'm fine.
Yeah, but if you's beat up or something, why ought to...
You heard what she said. Blow.
Now, look here, Miss...
Billy, please just go and don't say anything. I'll see you about it tomorrow. Now, please go.
Well, something sure is wrong when a dame gets slugged and tied up and everything. You speak a respectable building.
Now, if I can take what's this all about?
I don't know. He's chasing that picture as if it were gold.
Is it valuable?
Well, it's got to be. Otherwise, he's crazy. He attacks you with a gun butt, me with a poker. Not over a worthless picture. And yet...
Yet what?
Well, I know pictures. And that thing's a mess.
You didn't say that when you sold it to me.
Did you give it to him?
No, it's at my summer cottage. You made me tell him. Now, you listen to me. If that picture is so important to him, it could be just as important to us.
What do you want to do? Follow him?
Why not?
I don't have a car.
Well, I do. It's fast, and I know a couple of shortcuts. He's only had a little over 20 minutes to get started.
Yeah, well, okay, if you think so.
I think it might be very wise of us to chase this thing down.
Where's your car?
Downstairs. And, Mr. Merck.
Yeah?
In the drawer of the bureau is a gun.
It took me 11 hours to get to the Stamfield place on Little Tupper Lake. I got lost twice, and around midnight it started to rain. It was a cinch getting into the cottage. I did the downstairs first. No luck. Then in one of the bedrooms upstairs, I saw the picture on the wall above the dresser. I kept my flashlight on it for a long time. I felt as if I were looking at a miracle. And then I heard the door open behind me.
Don't turn around, Lesko. Just stay facing the wall. I've got the gun this time.
Oh, Marx, listen.
Shut up. You caught in the act of breaking and entering. And the police up here would probably give me a medal for shooting you. Now keep your hands up and come on downstairs. We're all going to have a long talk.
Mr. Lesko, you don't seem to understand English. We can take you into court on 3 charges.
Assaulting Mrs. Stanfield and assaulting me.
And breaking into my cottage with intent to steal. You know, our local police up here are very stubborn. All I have to do is lift this telephone and you're finished.
So talk.
What about it? No? Well, all right, you have to work. Operator, this is Mrs. Millard Stanfield at White Point Cottage.
All right, I'll tell you. Hang up.
I haven't been up here for a while. I was just checking to be sure my telephone was working. Thank you, operator.
We're waiting, Lesko.
We'll have to split it 3 ways.
No conditions. Talk.
You can't avoid the conditions. It's 3 ways and nothing.
Are you going to talk or do I have to bash your head in?
The picture is a Corot original. The Belfry of Douai.
Corot? This thing? You're nuts.
It's worth $250,000.
$200,000? Marx,
is he crazy? Corot painted in the May of 1871. It hung in the Louvre until the Germans invaded France.
This blob of nothing, Corot. Why, you're out of your mind.
It was disguised by the most expert artists the Louvre could find in Paris.
Disguised?
This isn't a castle at all. It's the Belfry. And this isn't a moat. The street.
Why, it's incredible. Fantastic.
Well, it had to be. The Germans had art experts, too.
How do you know all this?
And I was on a bombing mission over Lille. I got shot down. Finally, I made my way via the underground to Douai. A family there named Rubault hid me.
Rubault? He was Mrs. Hirsch's boarder.
That was the son. Monsieur Rubault, his father, was assistant curator of the Douai Museum. Well, as you know, when the German invasion of France became imminent, the Louvre treasures were shipped all over the world. The Houdon sculptures came to New York. The Byzantine ivories to Montreal. The statues and marbles went into vaults. Paintings were disguised and hidden all over France in the homes of trusted people. An expert painted in tempera over all the oils. It was done with tremendous skill and patience. And the Belfry of Douai was sent to Monsieur Rubault.
And he told you?
The painting and I were both hidden in the attic. I was an American and an ally. He got drunk one night and the old man talked. They expected Hitler to clean out the Louvre just the way Mussolini looted the Borghese Palace in Rome.
Corot. Sweet jumping Judas.
Monsieur Rubault had a son, Jacques. When the war ended, he stole the picture and cleared out. His father told me in a letter. Broke the old gentleman's heart. But that picture hung in the attic right over my bed. I hardly took my eyes off of it for 132 days.
And the kid ended up on 27th Street in Mrs. Hirsch's boarder.
Took him 7 years to get the picture out of France. A week after he made New York, he died of pneumonia.
Oh, I just can't get it through my head that this thing is worth all that money.
The Louvre agents have been looking for it since 1945.
Can we sell it?
When it's cleaned up. There are half a dozen bootleg art dealers who'd bleed at the eyes to get it.
He's right. Some of these rich collectors have the urge to own things. But
for an original Corot, they'd pay, and no questions asked.
$250,000 on the wall in my cottage.
Oh. Don't get that gleam in your eyes, Mrs. Stanfield.
Why not? It's mine, isn't it? I bought it.
It's ours. All I have to do is telephone a friend in the National Gallery in Washington and tell him that a Mrs. Stanfield has Corot's Belfry of Douai, and the authorities would pounce on you before you could show your pretty white teeth. Of course, they'd pay you back your original purchase price.
Of $50.
Mm-hmm.
So that, Mrs. Stanfield, is that. Now let's get back to New York.
Well, it stopped raining.
Yes,
about time.
Oh, I just can't stop thinking about that picture.
Yeah, neither can I.
So brilliantly disguised.
Well, it had to be. Everything the Germans saw in France that even smelt like treasure they took back to Berlin.
Mark, please don't drive so fast.
The limit's 50.
The road's wet.
Oh, relax.
It's ridiculous to take silly chances. Don't pass that trailer. There's a bad curve just ahead.
Hey, Mark, it's carrying gasoline. Take it easy.
Don't pass it. Go!
Mrs. Stanfield.
I'm all right. Get the picture.
I can't.
Get the picture. It's burning. $250,000 is burning.
We skid in on the wet asphalt, Doctor. We sideswiped the trailer, and trying to avoid us, the driver swerved and turned over. We were drenched with gasoline, and unfortunately, Mrs. Stanfield was smoking. In 5 seconds, we were in flames.
Miss Celesco, it's almost morning now. Please try to get some rest.
Marks was wonderful. I didn't know he could be like that. He dragged me out. Is he all right?
His hands were badly burned, but yes, he's all right.
And Mrs. Stanfield?
Mrs. Stanfield won't be beautiful anymore.
Oh, that'll really bother her. Beauty was about all she had. And $250,000 worth of pictures burned. I'm broken, burned, and beat up. I wish I was dead.
You're very lucky that you're not. After all, what's a picture compared to life itself?
Pictures are important to me, Doctor. I'm an artist.
Well, Mr. Lesko, I'm sure you'll...
Here... Yes, explain it, Doctor. Just tell me how an artist, even out of squirrel, can make a living when he's blind.
In the animal world, there's the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, chicken and worm. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt. But who is to judge precisely which of us, the hounds or foxes, as we enter the chase? The Chase was created for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Cleve. Tonight's script was written by Harry W. Junkin. Featured in tonight's cast were Vinton Hayworth as George Lesko, James Monks as John Mark, Joan Mosman as Mrs. Stanfield, with Irene Hubbard and Scott Tennyson. Next week, Death Rides a Roller Coaster and Haunts a House of Fun on The Chase. The Chase was directed and transcribed by Dan Sutter. This is Arthur Gary speaking.
Tonight, Dragnet brings you Authentic Adventure on NBC.